हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। नमः ओं विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमद्भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे, निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे। भज श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो यस्टरडे वी वर डिस्कसिंग दीज टू इम्पॉर्टेंट वर्सेस, 14 and 15, इज़न्ट इट, 14 and 15. So 14 is Krishna is saying, na kartrutvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karma phalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartate. Krishna is pointing out there one important thing. Na kartrutvam na karmani means Krishna has not given us any kartrutvam. Kartrutvam we have taken. Krishna didn't give it to us that you are responsible for this. He never mentioned that. So Krishna's point is na kartrutvam. Similarly, na karmani. Karmam also he has not given to us. It is what we have created. Karma vasanas we have created, therefore karmam has come. Isn't it? So na kartrutvam na karmani. Logasya srijati prabhu. That due to the association with the world outside, logasya srijati prabhu, it is created. It has been created. And also, na karma phalasam yogam, that after executing any karmam, the result has to come. That connection also Krishna has not created between the karmam and bhalam. That samyogam, the connection between the karmam and the result, also Krishna has not created. That's why he's saying there, na kartratvam na karmani logasya srijati prabhu na karma bhala samyogam. Then why people are working, instead of all these things are very clear, Krishna says people are still working. Why? Subhavastu pravartade. Subhavam inside a person. That is the behind it. The subhavam means what? As I mentioned, two things, surupam and subhavam. Surupam is same for everybody. We all have the same surupam. What is that? Spiritual. By nature, isn't it? The soul. But Swabhavam is different. That's why our field of activity and our activities are different in this world. Because of this reason. Swabhavam is different. Because Swabhavam is different, our way of doing things are different. Our tastes are different. Tastes are different because of the different karma we engage in. We have taste for certain karma. We have taste for some other karma. We have no taste for some other karma, isn't it? Some karma we have a taste for that. And some other karma, we don't have any taste for that. Isn't it? So this change in our nature to do certain things and not to do certain things. Sometimes we say that I love it, doing this. And sometimes others say, I hate this. I don't like doing this. Why? Svabhavastu pravartate. Svabhavam is what is behind it. So that is one important thing we talked about yesterday. Na kartrutvam, na karmani. Neither kartrutvam. Krishna is openly telling us that we keep on saying duty, duty, duty all the time. Krishna is telling us na kartrutvam. I have not given it to you, created that. That's why it's called self-created duties. It's called. It's not coming from Krishna. Krishna has not given us anything like that. Na kartrutvam, na karmani. Logasya srijati prabhu. Logam, due to the contact with the svabhavam and the world outside, this thing has come up. Karma has come up. And Krishna also says, na kartrutvam na karmani logasya srijati prabhu. Then he says that na karma phala samyogam. Karmam and its result phalam. That samyogam, karma phala samyogam also is not there. That's an important thing because we are working in this world with this understanding that everything what we do, the results must come from that. And that's very firmly rooted inside, isn't it? We are so convinced about that. It's based on our work that the results are coming. Na, Krishna is saying, na karma phalasam yogam. There is no connection between the two, karmam and the phalasam yogam. So, svabhavastu pravartade. And the answer to all this thing is svabhavastu pravartade. Svabhavam is behind it, what is causing this whole situation like this. It's only due to the svabhavam inside. Having said that, Krishna in the next verse, he said, in the 15th verse, Nadate kashyajil pavam nachaiva sugradam vibhu ajnana avradam jnanam tena muhyanti jandava. All verses are very subtle, if you can see there. Nadate kashyajil pavam nachaiva sugradam vibhu. Krishna is saying, as far as the soul is concerned, there is no pavam, there is no punyam. We keep on harping about this, thinking that, oh, I've been very sinful and I've been very pious all my life. Why I'm suffering like this? All this is misunderstanding. That's what Krishna is saying. Nadate kashyajil pavam na chaiva sugradam vibhu. Neither pavam nor sugradam. Sugradam means pious activity. Pious activity also doesn't exist. Neither there is anything called sinful activity. If we don't take all these things on board, when you read Bhagavatam, you'll get frightened after reading all the fifth canto, where there is so much discussion about sinful activity and sinful reaction. Till we come to self-realization, all these things are real. Once you come to self-realization, all this has no meaning. This Brahmam or this illusion is such, Maya's creation is such, it makes us feel that everything is real. Everything is real. Actually, nothing is real. It's all this illusion that is created by Maya that makes us to accept. But we won't know that reality till we realize the self. As long as we are in the bodily concept of life or in the control of mind or intelligence or ego, all this is real. Once we leave this body, leave this mind, leave this intelligence and the ego also gets dissolved, then come to the pure platform of the soul. None of them is real. That is what that verse is saying. Nadate kashyajil pavam na chaiva sugradam vibhu. That. So, what does that mean? Ajnana avradam jnanam. The soul is full of jnanam, knowledge inside. But it is completely covered by ajnanam. And what is that ajnanam? This body, mind, intelligence, ego. This is all ajnanam. So long as we are under the influence of these things, mind, body, intelligence, ego, this is all reality. This is all reality. Why Krishna is saying this? To telling us, get out of this ignorance, come to the platform of the soul. Realize yourself. Once you realize yourself, you have escaped from all of these problems. This is the reason why Krishna is stressing this. Ajnana avradam jnanam. Jnanam is inside everybody. Everyone has the knowledge inside. As long as the soul is inside, the knowledge has to be there. What's difference is, And that jnanam is the same in everyone, because it is a self-realized state. But in the degree of ajnanam is different in different people, in everyone. Ajnanenavritam jnanam. So what we are doing is, we are not doing anything about that jnanam. What we are doing is removing that jnanam from inside, what has come upon us, upon the soul. So removing that ajnanam bit by bit is this process of self-realization. So Krishna says, ajnanenavritam nadate kashyachil pavam na chaiva sukritam vibhu. Ajnanenavritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. The tena muhyanti jantava, Krishna is saying there, because it is different in all the living entities. Krishna says, nor does the Supreme Spirit assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. That means sinful and pious activities have no connection. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. That's what that means. So those two verses, very important verses to be remembered. That, because that is something, an eye-opener to everybody, isn't it? Because we are so used to thinking sinful activity, pious activity. Some people are so frightened about the sinful activity, thinking that, where am I going to go after death? What will happen to me? That's sinful, and we cannot do that. Or something else, they are thinking we are doing pious activity, so we can't. I must definitely get to the, at least, even if I don't make it to the spiritual world, at least I'll go to the heavenly planets. All these thoughts are coming from there. Krishna doesn't give any value to heavenly planets, nor to the hellish planets. As far as Krishna is concerned, come back to the platform of the soul and be situated in your spiritual identity. That's the only thing Krishna has to say about it. So, that swabhavam we were discussing yesterday, the only way to destroy this swabhavam or nature in us is that when we have extreme desire for self-realization, mumukshatva, when there is intense desire for self-realization, swabhavam will start changing. Swabhavam will start changing. Why swabhavam manifests now? Because there is no desire for realization, for the self. Therefore, swabhavam has taken control of us. And therefore, it is like the spider's web. We have created this swabhavam, we are stuck in that, unable to escape from there. So, karmam, kartrutvam, distress, everything is coming from that. That's what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Arjuna, if you are situated in your swarupam, in your pure identity as the soul, this will not happen. So, you have identified with the subtle body. And therefore, you thinking, I am that subtle body I am, which is the swabhavam. And because of that, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam has come. In other words, only when your identity is with this body, mind, intelligence and ego exist, only at that time you have this identity as I am the doer or I am the enjoyer. This will not be there when you are identifying with the soul. Once you have become the self-realized, in that platform of the soul, there is no kartrutva bhoktrutvam then anymore. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam leaves you at that point. That means doer and enjoyership. Doership and enjoyership leaves at that stage. It's only when we are under the influence of swabhavam. That means, what happens is, this subtle body, we are thinking that I am that now. At the moment, that's my identity, the subtle body, isn't it? So you can see, when we interact with the world, it is through the subtle body we are interacting. That means the mind, intelligence and the ego. These are all parts of the subtle body. It is through the subtle body that we are interacting with the world. And external world affects the subtle body only. It doesn't affect the soul. It only affects the subtle body. So between the interaction between the subtle body and the world outside is how the swabhavam is molded. The swabhavam is developed based on that. So it affects, the external world affects the swabhavam, and swabhavam is in contact with the external world through the senses. Through the senses it's in contact with the external world, and nobody can stop this. It's impossible. This is the first thing Krishna wants to make it very clear, that this cannot be stopped. What you can do is to escape from this. Changing is not possible. Changing is not possible. But you can escape from that. So this constantly it's happening between this interaction between the senses and the world. World means sense objects. World means sense objects. So senses and sense objects interaction is constantly going on. That you cannot stop. What you can do, Krishna is saying, you can escape from that. You can't change it. That because the world is not in our control. That's material nature is working its own way. So when the senses will find some shelter in sense objects or some happiness and shelter and some enjoyment in happiness in this world outside, then we are in trouble. But Krishna is saying here that how to get out of this trap of the senses and the sense objects. Svabhavastu pravartate. Krishna says there, isn't it? Na kartratvam na karmani logasya sajati prabhu. Ajnani enavridam jnanam. Ajnani enavridam logasya srajati prabhu. Then, ajnani enavridam jnanam. Sorry. Na karma bhalasam yogam. Verse 14. Na karma bhalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartate. Svabhavastu pravartate. So all that is implied in that verse. In that particular verse. Na kartratvam na karmani. Logasya srajati prabhu. Logam in contact with the through the senses is creating that. Na karma bhala samyogam. Karma and bhalam has no samyogam. There is no link between the two. Then svabhavastu pravartade. Svabhavam is working. Our svabhavam, what is inside, is working. Svabhavastu pravartade. So according to that svabhavam, accordingly, we are experiencing the sugham, happiness, distress, and all these things. That you can see also, that you cannot have continuously sugham in this world. That's not possible. Nobody can, even richest person in this world, cannot say that I'm always in a happy state. That's not possible. And same way, continuously you cannot have distress also. There is always some sugham. In the middle of all this distress also, in the middle of dukkham also. So sukham dukkham is always one after the other, keeps coming going. It's never the same. So if you continuously experience distress in this world, after some time you will get used to it. This is another nature of the distress. You'll get used to it. And at that time, Krishna will give, after long time, if you experience distress, you'll get so used to it, suddenly Krishna will give you some happiness in between. It will come to us from the nature. So then we'll feel, oh, again distress will come, your fear will develop inside. Is distress going to come back in another form? So that is the nature of the sukham dukham. That's why this is called duality. Duality means that it can control you in this way. There is, strictly speaking, there is neither sukham nor dukham here. This is all the way Maya works in this world. But it makes you feel that there is sukham, there is dukham. First recognition. Neither there is sukham nor there is any dukham here. Isn't it? So Krishna says here that after experience some sukham, they feel, oh, I should not get dukham anymore. Distress should not come anymore. Start thinking like that. So, after experiencing a lot of distress, people will say, now I've hit the bottom, there's nothing more can happen in my life. I'm not going to bother. They take that mood also. So, it's like this, that once the water has come on top of the head, if it has come 1 foot or if it has come 10 foot, it makes no difference if it's above the head, isn't it? So, similarly, if distress has come to such levels that you will not think anything about sukham, isn't it? Just like example. Now these floods have come in Pakistan. People have lost everything, isn't it? Will they be thinking, now I'm going to be happy in life? That thought completely leaves them, isn't it? Completely, once for all, it goes from them. Because disaster is so powerful, that's so heavy, that is, that they have lost everything. All that thoughts in their head that they're going to have a future life, all that goes away once for all. Now the question is only how to get some food so that they can meet the fill the belly. That's all the desire is now. Other hopes of life is completely gone. So this sukham dukham in life is like that. Sometimes you feel everything is going very well in this world. You feel everything is under control, you say. Isn't it? So that is the illusion Maya creates in us. And the very next moment, Maya can put us into that situation also, make us feel that everything is hopeless here. So it can switch from this situation to that situation. To such a degree, it can vary. So Krishna is saying here that everything is, whether it is dukkham or sukham, that whichever it happens, material nature won't leave you. She will always keep you under her control. So first she will give you a good smack, then will put a chocolate into your mouth, the very next thing. So this is that Maya, we are caught up in that, isn't it? That's why if she doesn't do that, we will leave everything and go. If she gives you such an intense, heavy dose of distress, then what will happen? We won't be able to function this world anymore. Karma vasanas won't fulfill. All desire for executing karma will leave us at that point. So if it is too heavy, that the smack or the beating from the nature is very heavy, then renunciation will happen inside. Renunciation will happen inside. So material nature has to make sure that it doesn't happen. That's the way material nature works. You see, for example, you can see when big war happened. After the war, some people have seen such powerful, such heavy scenes in the war. After the war, they become very inward looking. They don't want to know anything in this world after that. It is then their inquiry begins for spiritual life. They become very serious about spiritual life after that. Why? Because they have seen such levels of distress in this world, and they had to be a part of that as well. Suppose you are involved in fighting against the enemy, and that too, the enemy with whom you have no personal enmity, all because you had to fight for your country or whatever it was. And then you start realizing, was it all worth at the end, all this killing each other? What did I gain from this? So then you become much more internal. That's the stage when Vairagyam comes. So material nature keeps us going like this, keeps on giving us distress and the middle some happiness also. So we keep getting influenced by these two things. So that's why Krishna says here that Swabhavam is where everything is changing. So you can see when happiness, distress is changing, Swabhavam also changes. Our Swabhavam also changes along with that. Swabhavam is connected with the world outside. With the world outside. It is connected with the world outside. Swabhavam, there is pain, there is pleasure. But it cannot be pain alone. It can be pleasure as well as the pain. And this name of the Swabhavam is called Jiva. Jiva is nothing but this Swabhavam inside. And that is what actually goes on to the Punarjanma, to the rebirth. Soul doesn't take rebirth. It is this Swabhavam that takes a rebirth. That's another important thing. Now, we keep on saying that the soul has taken rebirth. Soul is always still, but it is this Swabhavam that is moving on to the next body. The subtle body is the one that goes on to the next body, isn't it? The soul is present always. He is not influenced. The soul is never influenced by anything, any of these things. It's totally independent. Totally independent. But the thing is, only in His presence all these things can happen. That's the beauty of the soul. Only when the soul is present there, all these things will happen. That's why Krishna says here, the soul, what we call it as Swabhavam, or the subtle body, Sushma Shariram, then if you can evaporate this subtle body while living in this body itself, then the soul will stay on its own. The soul will stay on its own. Once you can destroy that subtle body, while we are in this gross body, while we are in this present situation, if you can evaporate it out, that means if you can empty that package inside of the subtle body, which is full of karma vasana inside, and all the swabhavam, whatever it's called, that's another thing. So if it is destroyed here, then we have come to the platform of the soul. Then we become as our real identity of the soul manifests. We become spiritual then. There's no more matter associated with us anymore. So, nadate kasyajil papam. നൈവ സുഹൃതം വിഭു. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് ഇസ് സെയിങ്. അജ്ഞാനേനാവൃതം ജ്ഞാനം തേന മുഹ്യന്തി ജന്തവ, തേന മുഹ്യന്തി ജന്തവ. ദ സോൾ ബൈ നേച്ചർ ഈസ് ഫുൾ ഓഫ് നോളജ് ആൻഡ് സിൻഫുൾ ആക്ടിവിറ്റി കനോട്ട് ടച്ച് ദാറ്റ്, നൈദർ പയസ് ആക്ടിവിറ്റി. ആൻഡ് സോ ഇറ്റ്സ് ലൈക്ക് ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് സിൻഫുൾ ആക്ടിവിറ്റി ഈസ് ലൈക്ക് എൻ അയൺ ചെയിൻ. Sinful activity is like a iron chain, and pious activity is like a golden chain. Both are bondage. It's chain only at the end. Only it's a chain. Whether it's a sinful activity or pious activity, it is your chain. You are under the chain. So only problem is that the chain from the pious activity is more strong than the one from the sinful activity. Because sinful activity, so it is more difficult to break away from the influence of the from the bondage of the golden chain. You see, iron chain you can break away because you can want to break that connection, and you are not attached to the iron. But golden chain, the problem is you are attached to the gold as well, as much as the. As much as the chain. That's why when we feel happiness in this world, it's very difficult to come to spiritual life. This is the reason behind it. Because all the comforts in this world makes us feel that it's not bad after all. It's not too bad. Why should I give it up? And you cannot convince them logically all these things, because this has to be experienced in life. You have to experience distress in life before you can take to spiritual life. And that's a prerequisite. Nobody is that intelligent, that pure inside consciousness, that while experiencing happiness in this world, they'll come to spiritual life. Even if they do come, they will not stay, they will leave. That's why distress is a prerequisite for spiritual life, to come happen in life in that way. So Krishna says here, that it is more difficult to give up this because spiritual life is not based on intelligence. That's another thing. It's not due to intelligence that we take to spiritual life. It's from experience in life we realize that there is something wrong here in this world. That's not the place to be. We come to that understanding. That is our experience of this situation, what we are in. So, it is difficult to give up both. Therefore, in Sushma Shairam, or in the, if you want that, Sushma Shairam is the one which gets affected, but not the soul. It's not the one what gets affected. But if you want the absolute freedom, it's already there right now. What Krishna says here, that already you are free, but what has happened is that you have got cheated, thinking that I am this body, and we are wandering in this world with this understanding. So, if you look back into all the great realized souls, Sukadeva Goswami, Dattatreya Maharshi, Jadabharata, and many others, you will see how they moved around in this world. How did they move around in this world? Not being anything to do with the body. Isn't it? Body was not anymore their identity, bodily identity. So, what is happening to us is that we have been cheated by this body. Body has actually cheated us because our identification with the body is so strong. And in that process, we got cheated. Why? All kinds of desires have developed inside with the body and the mind. And the result of that is that in order to fulfill those desires, we made that our existence as body is meant for that, to fulfill all those desires. And that is the very purpose of life. We have come to that false conclusion from that. So, ultimately, if you look at it, it doesn't give you any happiness or satisfaction at the end of this life. Say you worked whole life, earned a lot of money, and a lot of sense gratification in this world. Everything went very well, for example. But at the end of the life, you are empty. Still, there is nothing. What is there? You leave this world, leaving behind everything. Do not know what is your identity, where you are going, what's going to happen. Everything is unknown to you still. So, as far as the gain is concerned, there is no gain from any of these things. This is the point. So the thing is that that we leave this world because at that point we realize, although we try very hard, that we want to hold on to this body, but it's not possible. Body will leave you. Even if you don't want to leave, body will leave you. That's where it is. So similarly, you can't keep that contact with that body. Why this state is? Because we, by nature, is that not neither this body, nor being touched by the sinful activity or pious activity. Our pure identity is eternal. And our identity is we are always pure. We are not any time contaminated. And we are always conscious. I am. That awareness inside. And we are always liberated. The definition of the soul is like that. Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Muktam. All four things. Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Muktam. If we become convinced and completely established in that consciousness of Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, that is Swarupam. Swarupam means Nityam Shuddham Buddham Muktam. Nitya means eternal, always exist. Because the proof is there already in our life in this world. The only reality, if you ask anyone, is that I am there. I am, I am, I am. I am always existing. At no time I can deny my existence, isn't it? I can deny others' existence. I am not aware of that. They may exist, may not exist. My own existence, I can't deny any time. In Jagrat, in Sapnam, Sushupti, it is existing. And similarly, Krishna is saying here, that is the greatest proof that God exists. And this is the signal that's coming from the soul. Our existence, reality that we do exist, that nobody can take it away from us. So, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, that is the nature of the Swarupam. And that is these four things, Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Mukta Swarupam. Out of that, Nityam, eternal, we cannot verify it now. Shuddham, pure, the soul, also we can't verify because we are not experiencing that. But Buddham, that consciousness that I'm existing, no verification is required. Because it's the crystal clear thing to us that our existence, isn't it? And mukti, the muktam, the liberated state, that also which is going to be experienced later when it happens. So out of these four, Buddha or the consciousness is the one that is permanently with us all the time. All the time. So that soul, although it is in that state, still we are feeling, why am I suffering in this world? This question again comes back. So the answer to that, Krishna is saying there, Ajnanenavrutam Jnanam. The soul has got everything for its own happiness. But somehow this veil of ignorance, Ajnanam, has come around that. And Krishna says that Swabhavam has covered the Swarupam. Swabhavam has covered the Swarupam. Two things, Swarupam and Swabhavam. Swarupam is same for everybody. That is always inside everyone, without any change, continuously shining inside as the Swarupam. I am, I am. That is that Swarupam. I am existing. That awareness or that Anubhava Swarupam. And that is sitting there without any change. Swabhavam, on the other, and that Swarupam is not different from one person to another. But Swabhavam is different for everyone. Everyone different. And my own Swabhavam keeps changing. It is different from other people. Not only that, my own Swabhavam also keeps changing. And Swabhavam, Swarupam will never move. Swabhavam is always moving, always changing. Swabhavam is sometimes Sukham, sometimes is Dukham. And that is Sukha Dukham Swabhavam is covering the soul, which is the Swarupam, and take away from our understanding that I am complete. You see, the soul on its own is complete. It doesn't require anything for its happiness because by nature it is happy. That's the nature of the soul, isn't it? Eternal, blissful. Blissful nature is the nature of the soul. But why do we not experience that? Because of the presence of this Swabhavam on top of it. Swabhavam is like a veil on the soul. Swabhavam, what it does is that Purnatvam. Purnatvam means that completeness or perfection in the soul is taken away by the Swabhavam. Swabhavam covers that. So, and Krishna says, Swarupam was called Jnanam. Jnanam means knowledge, is the Swarupam. And that is covered by the Jnanam, which is Swabhavam. So, same thing, use two different words, that's all. സ്വരൂപം ആൻഡ് സ്വഭാവം ഈസ് ലൈക്ക് ജ്ഞാനം ആൻഡ് അജ്ഞാനം. സ്വരൂപം നേച്ചർ ഈസ് ജ്ഞാനം. സ്വരൂപം ഈസ് സോൾ, ഇറ്റ്സ് നേച്ചർ ഈസ് നോളജ്. അജ്ഞാനം ഈസ് സ്വഭാവം, ഈസ് നേച്ചർ ഈസ് ഇഗ്നോറൻസ്. ഇസ്നെ സോ സ്വരൂപം ഈസ് കവേർഡ് ബൈ സ്വഭാവം, ജ്ഞാനം ഈസ് കവേർഡ് ബൈ അജ്ഞാനം. വേർഡ്സ് ആർ ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ് ബട്ട് ദാറ്റ് ഡസൻ മീൻ എനിത്തിങ്. ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൺലി ബിക്കോസ് ദ സെയിം പോയിൻറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ട്രൈങ് ടു ഗെറ്റ് അക്രോസ് ത്രൂ ഡിഫറെൻറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ്, ദാറ്റ്സ് ഓൾ. സോ ഞാൻ അജ്ഞാനേനാവൃതം ജ്ഞാനം തേന മുഹ്യന്തി ജന്തവ. ഓൾ ലിവിങ് എൻറ്റിറ്റീസ് ആർ ക്രിയേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേ ദാറ്റ് ദി ദയർ സ്വരൂപം ദേ ഹാവ് വിച്ച് ഇസ് ദ സെയിം എവറി ലിവിങ് എൻറ്റിറ്റി, ബട്ട് ഇറ്റ്സ് കവേർഡ് ബൈ ദി അജ്ഞാനം വിച്ച് ഈസ് ദി സ്വഭാവം ഇൻ ദം. അജ്ഞാനേനാവൃതം തേനം ജ്ഞാന മുഹ്യന്തി ജന്തവ. സോ and how to come to that state of jnanam, how to reach that state. So that jnanam or the knowledge what we refer to is us, is what we are, because we are the soul, isn't it? And soul by nature has got this jnanam, and it's also referred to as satyam jnanam anandam brahma. Upanishads are saying like that. It is the truth. And the very nature of it is knowledge. Satyam, Jnanam, Anandam. It is eternal also. And and that you cannot, it is not an intellectual knowledge. It's not an intellectual realization, nor it's a mental thing. Mind and intelligence cannot touch that, this realization of the soul. It cannot be touched by mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence has its own limited field of activity where it can function. But the moment we move away from the body, immediately the mind and intelligence cannot come into action there. That is the mistake most of us are making. That's why I'm saying that we are used to learning things through mind and intelligence, isn't it? All what we studied in the university, school and all that is through mind and intelligence. And we got habituated to thinking that it's only through mind and intelligence you can acquire something, understanding. But when it comes to the soul, mind and intelligence is not any help at all. No help at all. That's why we say that we have to change our way of thinking there. Give up this mind intelligence and leave it behind and think that spiritual realization happens on a different plane altogether. Remember when Ekadasha Skandham we discussed, Krishna says there, on a peculiar plane only spiritual realization happens. On a peculiar plane. You have to be in that plane. Only then you will understand. That means the more you are out of the mind and the intelligence, the more you will realize the self. That's how it works. The more you are free from the influence of the mind and intelligence, the more the realization will be inside, self-realization. I'll come to that in later detail when he talks about Sharanagati. So, what Krishna says here, between this, mind and intelligence, if you don't get trapped in between that, between the mind and intelligence, this awareness inside or bodham or the consciousness inside will take control of your spiritual life. It is the awareness that is taking control of your spiritual life. And that awareness is independent of the mind and intelligence. There is a wall between the mind intelligence and this awareness. We have to break that wall. That's our main problem. And when the wall is broken and we go to the... And that wall is very powerful inside us. Because we were always on this side of the wall where the mind and intelligence are operating. Because we have lived in that way for so long, when somebody tells you about the spiritual plane, spiritual field and spiritual activity, it all is very foreign to us. It doesn't make any sense to us. Why? This strong wall between the soul and the awareness and consciousness on one side, mind intelligence on the other side, that strong wall is created. It's not a physical wall, it's a mental wall or whatever we call it. A wall is there which is a sort of a division between the two. And then that wall is called the Swabhavam. Swabhavam is that wall. So and that does not allow you to realize that truth on the other side of the wall. On the other side of the wall. Satyam, realization is already there. And that's what it is so difficult to get this point across to people. That people don't accept the soul. That means the wall is very strong on this side. But even those who have accepted the soul on a theoretical level, they cannot realize it. Why? Because they are saying here that the thing what is already there. See, soul is already there. It's not realization. Only you have to realize it. The nature of the soul, which is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. So in the Upanishads, when they address the students who are studying Upanishads, it will address them, O son of immortal bliss, Amrutasya Putraha. But why we say like that? Upanishads are addressing us like this, Amrutasya Putraha. In other words, O sons of immortal bliss. That's what we are actually. Upanishads is calling us like that. But we are not experiencing any bliss, nor we feel we are immortal. Isn't it? This is our problem. So one sannyasi went to America and he was addressing them like this. O sons of immortal bliss. So they were asking like this, that are you trying to hypnotize us? By saying all these kind of things to us. Are you trying to hypnotize us? So sannyasi told them, I don't have to hypnotize you. You're already hypnotized. I'm only trying to dehypnotize you from what you are hypnotized you are. This is the Maya, what works in this world. We are so much hypnotized by this Maya that for us that's the only reality. Maya is the only reality. That makes us feel all the time. That's the only reality. So the duty of the spiritual master is to wake us up from this. That although we are by nature full of knowledge, full of bliss, and full of eternal, and fully eternal, still I am not waking up to that reality, but I am thinking I am this body, the mind, and I am a good person, bad person, and I have a lot of duty, I have a lot of responsibility. All these things is very strongly rooted in me. Isn't it? Very strongly rooted in me. Although Shastram is telling me that I am eternal, I am full of bliss, I am full of knowledge. What I have got at the moment with me is that I am this body, I am this mind, I am a good person or a bad person, and I have a lot of duty or a responsibility, and I have no time for anything else. This is the trap we are in at the moment. So what is satsangam does? Satsangam or reflection of the soul, all these things we have no time. There is no time to be peaceful in life because of this trap we have fallen into. So, and I also think I should get agitated because when some things are not happening, I am also feeling responsible to get agitated. And I also think I have to acquire a lot of wealth in this world. And in that process, I have to give a lot of pain to others. And I have to put a lot of people in distress. And I also have to suffer a lot in this world. This is all coming from this, our thinking that I've got a lot of duty in this world. This all comes from the duty thing. Duty has created all these things. In fact, on that level, man is thinking, the human being is thinking, he has got duty, duty, duty. But if you look at the animals, they are not having this duty like us, the way we have created this duty around us. Even they have got time in this world. It's only us who don't have any time for anything in this world. This is a pathetic situation what we have landed into. And every happiness has been taken away because of this consciousness what we have created, that we have no time. That we have no time for anything except work, 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 work. Whole day and night work. And keeping us busy in this way. Why? So much trapped in the body, mind, intelligence and ego. And we are thinking that I am suffering. In spite of the fact that I have to suffer here, I have to give pain to others and put them also into suffering, to misery. And also I have all this responsibility, duty, what I have created around me. And for that I require a lot of wealth. I need all this money for that. In this way, I have created a world of my own, and in that I am, like the spider has created the web around him, we have created this web, and we are caught up in that web. This is what the reality is. Krishna is saying that. So that's why ajnanenavritam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantava. That ajnanam is so powerful. This ajnanam is not something you can measure. You can only see from our life how much that ajnanam is overpowering us, how much it is controlling us. That you can see. That's not difficult. But whenever we feel this ajnanam, that ajnanam is happening in this way, the more you're feeling duty and responsibility, you can take it, the ajnanam is getting stronger inside. That's what it means. That's where it is coming from. Look at a cow. Cow eats a grass and lies down there. It's not feeling this urge inside. But look at the man, on the other hand, he is saying that he has not a second. He has no peace inside. He has not a second to rest himself. He is constantly busy. Therefore, the point Krishna is making here is that if you decide in self, this understanding comes. Your material activities will come down to some level. If not completely given up, to some level it will come down. And Krishna says that's conducive for, that is self-realization. So basically, stopping karma is self-realization, in other words. The more we are entangled, the more you are in bondage. But some people have such nature that impossible for them to give up. So much attracted by the karma. Vasanas are so strong inside, the urge. So they have to do it. For them, there is no choice. And that vasana has to, they come to this world with such powerful vasanas inside. So therefore, very difficult for them to withdraw from the world. Even if, no matter whatever you say to them, they will read all these things, agree with everything, but still they will say impossible to do it. So, like this, as I mentioned before, there is a sweet. That sweet is normally for Ganesh Chaturthi and Vinayak Chaturthi, they make this. Outside it is flour, inside it is sweet. Modagam, they call it. Modagam. Then Modagam is made everywhere. Throughout India you will see this. Particularly for Ganesh it's offered. In that sweet, Modagam, inside is sweet, which is made from, not sugar, the jaggery. Jaggery, coconut and things that inside. And outside is flour. So, on this Ganesh Chaturthi, wherever it's celebrated in Maharashtra and all, it's very famous. What they do, after the they prepare this and in the evening they offer to Ganesh on Chaturthi day, and then they distribute it to others. So the children know this very well. So what they want is only the inside portion, that thing is which is sweet. They get this and they go away from the elders and privately, quietly somewhere else, they will take out the flour outside and only eat the sweet inside. They don't want the external part, the flour. The adults, they eat the whole thing. They eat the whole thing, Modagam. So, we are like this in the sense, inside that sweet and pure thing is the soul. Outside this body, mind, intelligence is all that flour outside. Children are like jnanis. Jnanis, they know the soul. They only want that. They don't want anything to do with this body or the mind or the intelligence. They only want that soul inside. So therefore, like children, jnanis also, they're only after that sweet inside. They don't want to use the the flower outside. The flower outside. So similarly, Krishna is saying here that our mind and the body inside that, if you give your attention to that soul inside, then ignorance will go. Like the children give attention to the sweet inside, if you give attention to that soul inside, the ignorance will go. But if you give attention to the ignorance, which the flower outside, then you won't be able to give attention to the sweet inside, the soul inside. At the moment, our attention is all on this ignorance, which is the mind, the body, the intelligence and the ego. That's where all our Shraddha is. Shraddha is on that. You can look at it all the time that we give importance to ignorance. This is the sad thing. We give importance to the ignorance. But that is why people say, when you say all these things, they will tell you, whatever you say is all fine, but I'm not able to understand this. They will say like that. Why? Because you are giving importance to this point that you are not able to understand. Why you give importance to that you are not able to understand? Because you have given importance to the mind. That is why when you say things from Shastram, from Bhagavad Gita, Ekadasha Skandam, people will say to you straight away that, well, whatever you say may be right, but I'm not able to understand this. That will be their answer. Why do they say like that? Because they have given importance to the mind. With the mind they are trying to understand. If at that point, if they think, who is saying this, I have not understood, then they can escape from that situation. So, that who is that person who is saying this, I have not understood? Because you have placed yourself in the center of the brain. And through the brain you are trying to capture the things. And that is what Krishna is saying here, that your nature, by very nature, you are full of knowledge. The knowledge is your nature. The knowledge itself is your nature. Consciousness means knowledge. If you look the clear definition of the soul, eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. So knowledge is a nature of the soul. And if you give attention to that point, that the soul, then ignorance will never capture you. But here, ignorance is clouding the knowledge. Ignorance is clouding the knowledge. Just like the example is given in the Shastram is like this. The ocean is there. From the ocean, the sun shines on the ocean. And the water in the ocean starts evaporating and develops into the cloud. The cloud comes and covers the sun. When the cloud covers the sun, we start thinking the sun has gone away from our sun, does not exist. And similarly, the body, mind, intelligence, all these things have come from the soul only. And due to the subtle body, everything. Origin is the soul. And it has come now as a coverage of the soul, and we are now giving importance to the cloud, not to the sun behind it. The sun behind it is the soul. That soul we are ignoring, and we are giving importance to the cloud that has formed around the sun. This is called meditation, dhyanam. So, chanting the holy name, Vedas, they are all talking to us various things. To chant the holy name for, with the hope that one day this cloud will go. That's the hope behind it, isn't it? Why are we chanting? We are chanting because we are not thinking while chanting, well, with this whole body I will go to Vaikuntham or Golokam and I will be living comfortably there. That's not the goal. We know very well while chanting the holy name also that one day I will escape from this body. This is the goal behind it, isn't it? We are not thinking, if somebody is thinking that, well, I can be happy with this body, then he's lost it. He's not going to make it. Even after chanting millions of years, it doesn't make any difference. You can chant million years, but with this body, if you think you can be happy, then you can forget it. It's not going to happen. Those things are not going to change. Body will go one day, no matter how hard you try. And even your chanting is not going to. The greatest chanters, Adidas Thakur, also had to leave the body at the end. So body has to go. That is no question about that. But, so the chanting and also Vedic injunctions, Vedas, what they are talking to us, they're all talking to us many things, but still we are not experiencing the truth. Isn't it? We are not experiencing the truth. What is the reason? Because we have no interest in knowing the truth. That's what it is. These are all just sound only. They are chanting the holy name, the Vedic hymns. They are all just sound. But simply by that sound alone, it is impossible to free ourselves from to reach that goal at the truth till we accept it inside, till we accept that as the truth inside. So the words will also tell you that that Atma, the soul, and Swarupam, God, Ishvara, and it will bring a lot of information about all these things from the Shastram. And it tells you so much information instead of one another thing. And you can say also, and who, if you ask somebody, who are you? He says the ready-made answer will be, oh, you know very well who I am a spirit soul. He will answer you like that. But as far as spirit soul, that reply is concerned, it's just only a sound vibration, nothing more than that. No other realization, except to say that I am spirit soul. Nothing more than that. That is, instead of saying that I am okra or I am eggplant, I am saying that I am Atma. That's all it makes. That's all how much difference it makes, as far as the reply is concerned. Because there is no realization, isn't it? You're only saying it because you heard from the books or from somebody that I'm not this body. Therefore, I'm saying I'm the soul. But as far as the realization is concerned, this is not the truth. Therefore, when do we become that? That's the question. And this, we have to know that center. It is not something to be known. So, knowing, who is knowing it, that is more important. Not that what you are knowing, what you are coming to know is not the important thing. Who is knowing it? If you understand that, or if you become that, then you have understood it. You have understood it. That means we are spirit soul. And that identity establishing with the spirit soul is more important than all the other knowledge in the Shastram. Other knowledge in the Shastram. That is where it is going to take us at the end. Whatever you may do in this world, attention should be on the person who is knowing it. Who is knowing it. And that is coming from that awareness inside. Isn't it? I am that soul. That's where that is more important. Awareness means what? Awareness means this. That in every situation, you are consciously accepting that what you are getting from the world as knowledge is not the most important thing. What's more important is who is experiencing this. That is more important. Not what you are experiencing, but who is experiencing this. In the normal world, we give importance to what we are experiencing. In the spiritual world, we give importance to who is experiencing it. This is a deeper thing to have to reflect on this. That the more we realize that it is that person, who is it? That who is experiencing all these things. Then you will know what you are experiencing is not important anymore. Who is experiencing is important. And when you keep on stressing on that, you will get released from the body, from the mind, from the intelligence, from the ego. Otherwise, this separation won't happen. So long as you are in the platform of acquiring information from this world, thinking that that is going to take you to self-realization one day, it's not going to happen. How it will happen is, when you realize that all this information that's coming from this world, without giving importance to it, giving importance to the point that who is experiencing it, then you are moving on to the spiritual side of life, onto the spiritual reality. You are coming to the close to the reality. That is why we are looking at this world through the eyes. We are looking through the eyes. And at that, and similarly, all senses, hearing, smelling, and tasting, touching, all the different senses through which we are contacting this world outside. So at that point, if our thoughts come immediately strongly inside, who is experiencing this? Who is seeing? Who is hearing? Who is smelling? Who is touching? Who is tasting? If you keep thinking like this, then naturally you will get the answer. Who that is? Who that is? And in Shastram, the word used is Spurti. In the Bhagavatam, you will see this word in a few places, Spurti. Spurti means that one who is inside, who is actually doing all these things. That is called Spurti, because it's coming from him. Spurti means something that's come from the soul through the senses to this world. That experience of this world through the senses by the soul is called Spurti. Spurti is that thing. So, Spurti is discussed in a big way in the Jnana Shastram. It's a big thing for them. Because for them, what for us, what's important? Sense objects. That's what we are collecting information about. For the realized souls, what's important? Who is collecting the information? Or who is behind it? So it is, there is a verse about that. When discussing about this Spurti, it says that Balyadishwabi jagradadishu tatha sarva swavastha swabi vyavrutta swanu vartamana ahamit atyandas purandam sada swalpmanam prakadigarodi bhajadam yo bhadraya mudraya tasmai shri gurumurtaye nama idam shri dakshinamurtaye. He says, Balyadishu abhi jagradadishu tatha sarva swavastha swabi. That means, Balyadishwabi. Balya means the childhood. Childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, these are all different states in our life, isn't it? In all these states, who was present inside without any change? Thinking about him. Always thinking about him. Then, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states of existence, every day, going through. In all these three states, who was experiencing that state? That one. So, Vyavrtasvani Vartamana Ahamit Atyandas Purandam Sada. In all these three states, who is actually that changeless person inside? Who has not experienced this change? Change is happening to the body, isn't it? That is why Balyam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Vardakyam, boyhood, youthhood, old age, disease. All this is happening in the body. Then throughout the day and night, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. This is our life in this world, isn't it? There's nothing big thing happening here except these two things. Bodies keep on changing and we keep on changing our state of existence. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. So this is our experience in this world. Now, if you keep on giving your attention to whom all these things are happening, tasmai shri gurave nama idam shri dakshinamurtaye. That Dakshinamurti, who is teaching this to the four kumara, Sanaka, Sanandan, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara, he is swalpmanam pragadi karodi bhajadam yo bhadraya mudraya. If you see the photograph of Dakshinamurti, they have drawn this picture. Lord Shiva is instructing the four kumaras through what is known as Chinmudra. It's a famous way they show that. And that Chinmudra, through that Chinmudra, Lord Shiva is conveying this to the core Kumaras. They are not talking to each other. They are not talking. Kumaras are sitting there, Shiva is sitting there. And from Shiva, the knowledge is flowing to the Kumaras. Constantly this realization of what? It's not an intellectual thing. It's flowing from a spiritual level, from the plane of spirituality. It is flowing from Lord Shiva to the four Kumaras, this realization. And that is put in the verse form like this. Swalpanam pragati karodi bhajadam yo bhadraya mudraya. That mudra, chinmudra, through which this pure identity of the soul is experienced by the Kumaras at the time when they are in discussion with Lord Shiva. And to that, the Dakshinamurti's form obeisances, it says. It's from the Dakshinamurti Ashtakam. So the important thing is that how to understand this in our normal life. This is the thought behind it, the principle behind it. And everything is changing. There is one thing which is not changing in us. Which is not changing in us. And for example, 90-year-old person, he is calling his great-grandchild and showing his video to him and telling him, look at me when I was small. This was me. And the great-grandchild is looking at him, the photo, doesn't have any connection with the photo as well as the person who is now talking to us. All the teeth is gone, the hair has gone white, and all the skin has lost its beauty, completely lost everything. So he says to the granddad, I'm not able to understand. You are not that, he says. But the granddad is insisting, I am that, he says. The child is saying, I don't think so, he says. It's objecting to that. So, in this 89 years old, when he was 1 year old, he had taken this photo of him. And at the age of 90, he is looking at him. And he says, I am that. So, in other words, what does it mean? Inside, without anyone telling him, he is conscious that I was the same person at 1 and I am the same person at 90. There is no more proof required. Nobody without telling you, you are changed, everything has changed. The body has completely changed. Mind has changed. Intelligence has changed. Everything has changed. But you are still able to say so strongly, I am the same person who was in this photo. Where is this coming from? This is coming from the soul. The soul is saying that I am the same person. That awareness has not changed. I am, I am. That awareness is the one that has followed you all the way through. Isn't it? So that is why we say that awareness is more important rather than giving importance to this body. Body, we are giving importance, thinking that I am this body. But body, you can't give importance because it is changing. How can you give importance to it? The one that is not changing is that awareness inside. I was there at 1 year old. I'm even anyone can deny who it was, but you will not deny. You will say, I am that. You have kept that photo with you when you were 1 year old. And you are able to say this, it's my photo at that time. And now at 90 years old, you are still saying, I am that. I was that person there. So where is this, conviction coming from? That you are so strongly able to stand by that and say that I was that person. That's coming from the soul. That is that awareness of what we call as bodham. Bodham means the awareness of the soul is like that. That he is so sure about that. Nobody can deny that, that awareness inside. So that is... And that way, the 90-year-old person is saying to this 5-year-old boy, look at my photo, and I am that, he says here. And I am the same person who is now as well. There is absolutely no difference. So, that person who existed at that 1-year-old, and who is here now at 90-year-old, the person who is talking like that is called Sutralma. In the Shastram, the word used is Sutralma. Earlier we talked about Spurti. Spurti is the person who goes through the senses and interacts with the world and experiences the world. So the same soul at one point is called a Spurti. That is because of its function is like that. Now when he is talking about awareness, that at the age of 1 I had this, I was that, and now at 90 it's me. Who is saying this? He is called a Sutralma. He is called Sutralma. Why is he called a Sutralma? There's a reason behind it. Then, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, in the 3rd chapter, where the Pipalayana Maharshi, I think it is Pipalayana Maharshi, talks about the talks about us. Isn't it? About us means about the soul. There he says here, Pipalayana Maharshi says this. They are very important verses. In the Bhagavatam we discussed this when we were discussing that part of the Bhagavatam. The question, 9 yogis were there, isn't it? 9 yogis. Kavi, Hari, Andariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalayan, Avirhotra, Drumala, Chamasa, Karabhajana. The 9 sages of, 9 sons of Rishabhadev. They met King Nimi. So, King Nimi asked, had questions. He asked 9 questions and 9 sages answered. 9 different questions. First question was, what is Bhagavata Dharma? That was the first question. Kavi Maharshi answered that. Bhagavata Dharma means Krishna consciousness, in other words. And then Hari Maharshi asked, Nimi asked a question, what is the symptoms of a devotee? And Hari Maharshi answered that. Hari Maharshi answered that. We must study all those verses, only then we will know what a devotee is. Otherwise, we'll be carried away by the Shikha and the dhoti and the kurta. That is no use. It's all too much on a bodily level. Nothing has changed. if you want to understand what a devotee means, we have to strictly go by what the sages are telling us, because otherwise Krishna would not have taken, Sukadeva Goswami would not have taken the effort to bring them into Bhagavatam in the Ekadasi Skandam. Means, it means something, isn't it? Otherwise, Sukadeva, Parikshit Maharaj is dying there. He's going to leave his body. And at the last few minutes, this Ekadasi Skandam is spoken. Just the last day, Ekadasham was spoken on the last day. After the 7 days, it was on the last day, few hours before, Ekadasham was spoken to him. Up to that, all other stories were spoken. All the 9 cantos, and then the 10th canto, last 2 days, and then finally Ekadasham was spoken to Parikshit. So there, if he has to bring these 9 yogis, there must be some importance to it. Otherwise, Sukadeva Goswami would not waste the time, because he knows the time is limited and he has to leave the body. So at that point, he is saying, these 9 discussions between Nimi and the Navayogis have happened. That discussion was brought in there. Isn't it? So there, these questions, the 9 questions were asked, and their replies are very important. In the Bhagavatam, their replies are very important. So Kavi asked a question, what is the Atyandiga Shreyas? Atyandiga means, Atyandiga, I don't know what the exact English word is. Ultimately, what is good for us? Ultimate benefit. That means, after getting that benefit, you should not desire anymore anything. That is ultimate benefit. Once you have got it, there should not be any more question after that, what should I do now? That means totally you are satisfied. Never again you will ask that question, I want something more than that. This is called Atyandiyam. The word used is Atyandiyam. So in the Bhagavatam, when that question came up, Atyandiya Kshema, what is the ultimate welfare for anyone from which he does not have to desire anything further? This was the question from Kavi. In answer to that, question from Nimi. In answer to that, Kavi answered, the first sage, that the ultimate thing is Krishna consciousness, the self-realization, Bhagavata Dharma. And he presents Bhagavata Dharma in a very, very systematical way in 12 verses, Kavi Maharshi's answer. Immediately after that, he realized that there is the state of realization of a devotee. And he explains that, Kavi, this is a devotee in these 12 verses. It is then that he wanted to know, who is a devotee? How do you understand a devotee? It is at that time Hari Maharshi had to explain to Nimi that there are 3 kinds of devotees, and Uttamam, Pragradam, Madhyamam, or you can also say Uttamam, Madhyamam, Pragradam, or in other words he says, we call it as Uttama Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Kanishtha Adhikari. He explained these 3 things there. Very nicely it is explained by Hari Maharshi. So, Bhagavad Dharmam, Bhakta Lakshanam. Then asked a question, what is that stopping him coming to that realization? Then he explained Maya. Maya is the reason. Andarisha answered about the Maya. And then Kavir Hari Andarisha. So, how to escape from that Maya? Maya is the one which does not allow you to reach that state, he said. So, Bhagavad Dharmam, Bhakta Lakshanam, Maya. Then he asked a question, Nimi asked a question, how to get over this Maya? And that was spoken by Prabuddha. Prabuddha answered that question. So, Bhagavad Dharmam, the symptoms of a devotee, Maya, how to cross over the Maya. These things were Kavi, Hari, Andarishan, Prabuddha. Then, after that, the question comes from this, from the king. So, he said here in the verse before, Idi Bhagavadan Dharman Shikshan Bhaktya Taduttaya Narayana Paro Maya Anjastaradi Dustaram. He says, Andarisha says this, that after executing this Bhagavata Dharma, the Mahatmas, because they have executed that Bhagavata Dharma strictly, according to the injunctions, they became so Krishna conscious, pure in everything, and they crossed the Maya. They crossed the Maya. So at that time the king asked a question, Narayana Abhidhanasya Brahmana Paramatmana Nishtam Arhadano Vaktum Uyam Hi Brahmavitama. So those who have realized the truth through this, in this way, when they have realized that, can you explain to them what is the nature of the truth what they have realized? This was the question. What is the nature of the truth what they have realized? This was the question from Nimi. So answer to that this question is an important thing, because when we realize the truth, when we realize the truth, we want to know what is that we have realized, isn't it? What's the nature of that truth, what we have realized? And can you explain the swarupam of that truth to us, of that truth to us? And in answer to that, Kavi Hari Andarisha Prabhuda, Pippalayana Maharshi answers the nature of that truth. And that is about from verse 35 to verse, goes right up to 46 verses. 35 to 40. 6 verses. He is explaining about the nature of the soul. It is there that this Sutralpa has come. He gives the definition of the Sutralpa. What does he say here? Sattvam rajastama idi trivrdegamado sutram mahan ahamidi pravadandi jivam jnanakriyartha bhala rupadayo uru shakti brahma ivabhadi sadasachadayo paramyal. Sattvam rajastama idi trivrdegamado sutram mahan ahamidi pravadandi jivam. Says here that it is that Narayana who is present in everything, first thing, who is present in everyone. And whether it is Sat or Asat, whatever is there in this world, it is all that Narayana only. And it is that Brahmam or Narayana, these are all different names used for the same truth, that the same thing turns in the form of Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. And the same thing is known as Pradhanam. In the Shastram, it is known as Pradhanam. And in the same way, the same thing, due to this Kriya Shakti, it is called Sutralpa. It is called Sutralpa. So, when it comes to Kriya Shakti, it is called Sutralpa. When it comes to Jnana Shakti, it is called Mahatattvam. And the same thing, when it comes in the form of Jiva, it is called Ahangaram, false ego. So, practically the soul, which is that the truth, as we can address it in different names, but Brahmam, or the soul, or the absolute truth, whichever way you call it, that vastu is addressed in these different ways in different situations. When it is in the form of this Kriya Shakti, it is known as Sutralpa. When it is known as Jnana Shakti, it is known as Mahatattvam. It is through Mahatattvam creation happens, isn't it? That process of Mahatattva Maya, like that. And when it is in the form of false ego, it is addressed as Jiva. So, Tattvam is one. That is why in the Bhagavatam beginning it says, Vadandita Tattvavidam Tattvajnanam Advayam. What does Advayam mean? One without a second. There's only one. There's no two there. Only one. That one truth is coming out in these different ways in this world. When you are studying Shastram, it comes in these three ways. Mahatattvam, and also Ahangaram, and also as Sutralpa. Sutralpa. So through the Jnana Shakti, it comes as the Mahatattvam. Through the Kriya Shakti, it comes as Sutralpa. And through Ahangaram, it becomes Jiva. Through Ahangaram, it becomes Jiva. That's why it says here, Sattvam Rajastama Idi Trivrdega Madhav Sutram Mahan Aham Idi Pravadandi Jivam. When it keeps saying Aham Aham, I am this, I am that, false ego, all this, that is Jiva at that point. Jnana Kriyartha Bhala Rupadayo Urishakti Brahmaiva Bhadi Sadasacha Tayo Paramyad. Pippalayana Maharshi is saying to Nimi, my dear king, it is only that Brahmam, which is the truth, the vastu, as it's called in the Bhagavadam, it is that Brahmam is coming out through this Jnanam, Kriyam, Artham. In these three ways, Bhala Rupadayoru Vibhadi, it is shining in these three, through these three channels, comes out, Brahmaiva Bhadi, it is that Brahmam that is shining all the time. So, Sutralpa, what Krishna is referring to here, is that which is Aham Spurti, Spurti inside, that Aham Aham, which is always in us, that awareness of that, which I mentioned before, when you are a 1 year old child, and when you become 90 year old, you are still conscious that Aham Aham, I am that. I am that 1 year old child, I am this 90 year old person. I am, has not changed. And that is that awareness of me In that way, that is called Aham Spurti, or that is here, it's called as Sutralma. Different names people give, that's all. Vastu is one, the soul. But in different conditions, Jnana Sastram will teach in this way, so that to get the truth established inside. Because if you tell somebody that you are spirit soul, it's not going to make any difference to him, isn't it? But in order to make that understanding deeper, we have to look, study this. Upanishads are teaching us in this way. So the more think about it, it becomes a habit in us. Think about that Atma, the soul. So, and that sutra, why is it called Sutralma? Sutra means what? It's a thread, isn't it? So, it is that thread which is connecting all of us inside, isn't it? That's the connection between all of us, not the body. It's that soul that is present in all of us, all living beings. This sutram is present. This sutraya manigana iva in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says later, isn't it? I think it's in the 8th chapter or something. Krishna says, sutraya manigana iva, like a pearls in the thread. It is that thread. What is that sutram into all of us? It's the soul. So that is moving through all of us. But what has happened to that thread is, that thread has got associated with the flower on that, and the flower has rotten, and we have got absorbed in that rotten flower, which is the body. Which is the body, isn't it? So, so that rotten nature of the flower gets rotten after a while. But the thread, which is inside, is not rotten, because that's the soul inside. It doesn't have a rotten nature. The body has the rotten nature. So, and that rottenness of the flower, that's coming from the rotten flower, if you give attention to that, then you will not see the thread inside. If you give attention to that flower which is rotten outside, which is the body. So our nature is that thread, the thread inside, and that is known as spurti. This spurti is discussed in different ways, how to find this spurti inside. So this false ego is present inside. False ego is present inside. These three things, we have Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Ahangaram. Three things which is present inside. So we all want to realize the self, isn't it? We all want to realize the self. That itself is a misunderstanding, in the sense that actually there is nothing to be realized. That's only that exists. Nothing else is existing. We are saying realization in the sense that from we want to get out of this ignorance to that self. That's what we want. But self is the reality, not the ignorance. Ignorance is the temporary state. So when we talk about self-realization, what we have to take into account is we are thinking that in order to realize a self, I have to do this, I have to do that. But all the time while operating, you are always identifying with the wrong place and acting on that level. For example, identifying with the body, I am thinking that I have to do so much sadhana to realize the self. But self is the only reality. I am in the ignorant state of the body, what I am in at the moment. So there is only one thing, what we have as our property in all these things. What's that? This understanding that I am the soul and this awareness of me as the soul, that is our wealth in sadhana, isn't it? While executing sadhana, at the moment I am completely under the clutches of the body and the mind. I don't know anything about the soul. Now, if I keep on holding on to this body and the mind and I am engaged in sadhana, I will never come out of this ignorance. Whereas, Krishna has given us one silver thread there. What is that silver thread? This bodham, consciousness, awareness to me, saying that this is always with you, and that's coming from the soul. If you hold on to that thread, what Krishna has given to us, and then execute the sadhana, then the sadhana will work. Otherwise, if you're always thinking, I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence, and then I am executing sadhana all the time, sadhana won't have any effect at the end. Why? Because I don't want to leave this body, I don't want to leave this mind, I don't want to leave the intelligence. So that's why it's important while executing sadhana. People miss, okay, some results will come one day. Why? Because if you continuously chant for a long period of time, automatically chittavritti will come down. So naturally this knowledge will eventually come, this understanding will come. But if you take it on board right now, this understanding, that being in ignorant state and I continuing sadhana in that way, I should rather accept this silver lining which Krishna has given to us, silver thread, that this purti that is present in me all the time, a sutralma, who is clearly telling me that I have nothing to do with this body. And with this full consciousness of the soul, if I am chanting the holy name, the result will be much faster. This will be much faster. It has to happen like that. That's why bhakti goes with jnanam. You cannot separate out jnanam and bhakti separately. It is not possible. If he is a great devotee, you will notice that they will have that jnanam inside. He said jnanam has developed into bhakti later. That is what Bhagavad Gita is saying. And similarly, every great jnani will come to this realization at the last minute and he will become a devotee. He has to become a devotee. That's why Krishna says, Bahunam janmanam ande jnanavanmam prabhadyade vasudeva sarvamiti. That state. Vasudeva sarvamiti. That's only Krishna exists. Nothing else exists. Only Krishna exists. Samahalma sudurlabha, Krishna says there, isn't it? What does that mean? Jnanavan, bahunam janmanam ande. After so many lifetimes, he will come to this realization. What is that? Vasudeva sarvamiti. Everything is Krishna. Krishna means the soul is what is present in everywhere. Nothing else than that. So that is our wealth in while performing sadhana. So at the moment, shariram or the material body, we are trapped in that identity. Trapped in the identity of the body. That has been given to us by the material nature. Material nature gave us this body. We didn't ask for it. It was given to us. Take it, it says. So, and just like the way it has given us this body, it will take the body away from us also when it is right. The time is right. We don't make that decision. Prakriti makes the decision. Prakriti gave it to us and told us that stay there in that body for some time. And Prakriti decides one day, give it back to me. And we have to hand it back to the Prakriti again. This is our position in this world. We are falsely identifying with the body all the time and thinking that it's my body, my body, my body. What is my body? Body belongs to material nature. This is all in the realized state. Only one will experience these things. So if you give attention to this body all the time, which is not yours, which belongs to material nature, and not give any attention to the soul, which you are, that is ajnanam. That is ajnanam. So when you keep on giving attention to this body all the time and to the mind, you are not getting the experience of that awareness of the soul. This is what happens. If you continuously give attention to the body and the mind and the intelligence and the ego inside, and all your attention is on them, you will never experience anything from the soul. That awareness is difficult to stay inside. Isn't it? It's understandable. Because all the attention is on the body, on the mind, on the intelligence. So the awareness of the soul is not developing inside because of that. So that is why Krishna is saying here that the most of the time under the clutches of the subtle body. Isn't it? If you are not in the clutches of the gross body, you are in the clutches of subtle body. Subtle body means what? All the emotions. Kamam, lust, anger, greed, jealousy, envy, hate, love, all kinds of things. What is we call as in the different kinds of emotions. So, suppose something happens that somebody talked to you very rudely about something and you get insulted. Suppose you got insulted about that. And you will say that the mind stops all activities and get absorbed in that at that time, isn't it? Suppose somebody has spoken to you very rudely something. You can see this experience. Someone got very heavy with you on some issue. Then you forget everything else at that point. You become so focused on what he has spoken. Depends on how heavy the the interaction was. Suppose the person has spoken very heavily, then I mean, notice the nature of the mind. Immediately it throw away everything else, and you get so affected by that one thing, that few words what he has spoken. And that is how ahankaram comes up, the false ego's nature. False ego, and that is called in Shastram ahankara vritti. Ahankara vritti is like that. If you want to see the ahankara vritti, go to somebody and get fired by him heavily. And then you will see what ahankaram means. How ahankaram pops up at that time from inside. So ahankara vritti alone stays. And if you... this ahankara vritti gets confused with the spurti inside. Spurti inside. Aham spurti. Aham spurti is coming from the soul. Yeah? Aham spurti is coming from the soul. Ahankara vritti is also ahankaram, like aham spurti, is also ahamkaram. It's only all relationship with aham. But at the same time, they are addressed in two different ways. One is called shuddha aham, pure aham, which is aham spurti. And the other one is ashuddha aham, impure aham, which is the ahankara vritti. They are separate. We have to separate them out in the beginning itself. Otherwise, we'll misunderstand one with the other. We'll misunderstand one to the other. So, this ashuddham or impure thing, impure ahankara vritti is called ahankaram. Or pure ahankar, pure aham is called spurti. And that is chit shakti. And that is chit shakti. So, and that is a nature of what we addressed in the Brahma Vidya. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says it's a Brahmi Sthiti. So Brahmi Sthiti is coming from the word Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya means spiritual knowledge. This aham spurti, that is Brahmi Vidya. And Brahmi Shakti, in other words, it is referred to. Sharada is another name referred to. So, if we completely got absorbed in the clutch, in the influence of this aham spurti or the Brahmi Shakti, then aham bhodam will develop strongly inside, and between ajnanam and jnanam, between ignorance and the jnanam or the knowledge, there is a connecting point. There is a connecting point, and that is called chit shakti. Chit Shakti is the connecting point between the that realized state and the ignorant state. So, this Chit Shakti which is inside, that once that Chit Shakti operates, then there is no Ajnanam anymore. There is no Ajnanam anymore. So, Jnanam and Ajnanam, practically there is not much difference. When Jnanam becomes very gross, it's a very fine thing and a very subtle thing also to capture this. When the jnanam becomes very gross, it becomes ajnanam. Jnanam is in the very subtle level. Extremely subtle level, it is jnanam. In extremely gross level, it is ajnanam. They are not separate. Jnanam and ajnanam, they are not separate. Krishna earlier said jnanam and ajnanam separately, isn't it? Then we have to understand what is jnanam. It is jnanam only that becomes ajnanam later. You see, that jnanam, when it becomes ajnanam, it becomes in a gross level. When ajnanam, when it goes to the very extremely subtle level, sushma mandalam, when it goes there, it becomes jnanam and comes out as the soul. As the soul. It becomes ajnanam and comes out as the soul. When it becomes completely in the gross level, it becomes ajnanam and comes out as the body. This consciousness, Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti, when it becomes knowledge and in the jnanam and it becomes very, very subtle level, it becomes the soul and it shines as the soul as knowledge. When it becomes very gross and it becomes extremely gross, it becomes the body and comes out as ajnanam. So this is the difference between jnanam and ajnanam. I don't know whether it's hit you or not. Sometimes certain things you have to keep thinking about it. Or if you quietly reflect, you will get it. It is not that something difficult. But in the sense that There is a gross thing and a subtle thing. Everything what we are interacting in this world is on a gross level, isn't it? That we know. Everything is very, we are all very gross people, strictly speaking. Because why? We only understand gross things. That's the problem. That subtle things, when it is spoken, we don't understand it. So what happens? The mind says, let me sleep. I can't understand it. It goes into layup straight away. So that's what we have to avoid, not that to happen. We should become that subtlety, develop inside, to understand that Jnanam and Ajnanam are not two different things. When Chit Shakti is in a very subtle level, it's operating, it becomes the soul, and it comes out in the power of Jnanam. Jnanam is its nature at that time. When the same Chit Shakti, when it becomes very gross, it comes out in the form of the body, and it displays all ignorance. So that's what that difference is. So that is why here it says, Ajnanam, what does that word say? Ajnanena avritam jnanam. That's important. See how Krishna's words are so carefully selected. Avritam means cover, isn't it? It's covered by Ajnanam, it says. Question will come, has Ajnanam got the power to cover Jnanam? This question you have to ask, isn't it? That means Ajnanam is a more powerful person than Jnanam. That question comes because Krishna uses the word avritam. So strictly speaking, it's not avritam in that sense. It's the same Jnanam. In one phase it's like this, in another phase it's like another way. That's what it means. So there's no coverage as such happening, but avritam, when you translate it, avritam has a big meaning. It's not just covering alone. It is this change in the happening in the Jnanam. That's what it is meaning. So, we feel that Ajnanam is somebody separate from Jnanam. That's how we feel that. Just like the cloud is covering the sun. Cloud is covering the sun. Where did the cloud come from? Cloud came from the sea, isn't it? Cloud came from the sea, the water. Because of the sunshine, the water in the sea has turned into cloud and it is covering the sun. But why do we feel like that? Because we feel the sea is different from the sun. Sea is different from the sun. Actually, sea is not different from the sun either. This, in the process of creation, if you look, you will see only at a particular time the material elements turns into water at the last, isn't it? Just before the earth. So prior to that, it has also come from fire, which is the sun. So if you look at it this way, there's only one thing that existing, but it keeps on presenting in front of us in different phases, and we accepting that all is a reality. And that's what the mistake is in us. So when Krishna is saying here, Ajnanenavritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava, Ajnanam or ignorance actually is covering the jnanam, but actually covering is like this, in this way. It is happening. Ajnana Swarupam. Similarly, Atma is Jnanam. The soul by nature is full of knowledge, isn't it? And Ahankaram is Ajnanam. Ahankara Swarupam is Ajnanam. So strictly speaking, the moment we move on to this platform of the soul of Jnanam, Ahankaram cannot exist anymore. Ahankaram has to go. Immediately it has to go. So, so that is why Krishna is saying here, That ahankaram or false ego is covering, which is ajnanam based, is covering the soul, which is knowledge based, jnanam based, isn't it? So ajnanenavritam jnanam, Krishna says, ajnanam has covering the soul. That means you are not experiencing the atma. Atmanubhavam is covered. So because of this, what has happened to us? Because of this Ajnanam, we started thinking we are limited to this body. That's what has happened. We are limited to this body. Many often, if you look into the conversations with Prabhupada and some older devotees, early days, you will see one question popping up all the time. Because this thing, sometimes people may not take note of it. And they'll ask this question, so what does that mean, the soul means? They want to understand the soul with the mind. So there's where the problem comes. They're asking this question, and Prabhupada was explaining about the soul. So far you can explain about it, isn't it? But if it hasn't clicked inside, it's always a problem. You'll keep thinking about the soul. How does the soul work? But actually, soul is one. It's present in everyone, isn't it? The moment you have fallen into this ajnanam, tena muhyanti jandava, ajnana enavratam jnanam. Jnanam is covered with this ajnanam, and you have identified with the body strongly. So what has happened? We, by very nature, on a spiritual platform, we are omniscient. And we are supposed to be present everywhere. The soul is present everywhere. But as soon as you are identified with the body and you are limited to the body, you have become what in Shastram they call it as parichinam. Parichinam means you have been contained into a small space. Into a small space. But because of the identification with the body, we have started thinking, I am only present here now. I am not present in Lakshmarkit. I am only present in Barnet. Or I am limited by the space. But once this bodily identity leaves you, immediately the space identity also goes away. You are not limiting anymore by the space. Why? Because on a spiritual level, you are present everywhere as a spirit. You are present everywhere. You come back to your original state that you are present. So as soon as you are identified with the body, you have limited what is known as parichinavastha. Parichinavastha means this. You are limited to the body. This is an ignorance that is followed after accepting the body. That has come to us. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there that when Krishna talks, Sudeva Goswami talking about the realized souls, he will always say that Tvam Sarva Bhuta Hridayam Unimana Tosmi. About Sudeva Goswami, Sudeva Goswami saying this about Sudeva Goswami. Sarva Bhuta Hridayam is present in everyone. What does that mean? It means this, that he is not limited to one body anymore. We are all limited to this body and we are thinking we are this body, nothing else. But Sudeva Goswami's position is this, I am not this body. He is in that realized state all the time. Therefore, no body you can put on him. Sudeva Goswami doesn't have a particular body. Sudeva Goswami, when he walked in to talk Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, he appeared in a form, and then when he left that body has disappeared. And he left. He didn't carry that body with him all along. So he is spirit, always in the spiritual body. But what body he has to accept at different times is up to him. Whichever consciousness he wants to take. That's why in the Bhagavatam, when he was talking about Uddhava's conversations with Krishna, he has to be like Uddhava. In that consciousness he can appear and speak about Uddhava. And when in the gopis, he can speak like the gopis. That consciousness he can speak. That is why Bhagavatam is so beautiful. In that consciousness, he is able to present it. Similarly, if you look into Ekadasha Skandam, you will see the 9 yogis appeared, isn't it? They were all liberated souls. When they appeared, they didn't come from anywhere. They just appeared there in a particular body, in front of Nimi. So this body is what is called parichinam. And parichina avastha, that state is, happens to us when we fall into bodily identity. When we have escaped from the bodily identity, this limitation is gone. Then omnipresent you are. You are present everywhere. Wherever you want to appear, you can appear at that time. In that realized state. In the fully realized state. When you are no more in the bodily identity. So, that is why. So, we're talking about this important thing, that Chit Shakti, isn't it? Chit Shakti is doing this. All these things are happening in Chit Shakti. So that Chit Shakti is the link for us to the truth, to the soul. This is why Radharani is important. Radharani is that Chit Shakti. So Radharani's mercy means this, that takes us out of that grossness into that subtlety, the result of which we are in our identity as the soul. So when we say we worship Radharani, through her mercy we can go back to Krishna, it means this. This is what it means. That Radharani removes that ignorance in us which has caused this grossness in us. And Radharani makes us feel more subtle to see and makes our awareness more prominent. With the result of that, we started becoming awareness of our spiritual identity. In other words, we are freed from the bodily concept once for all. And going back to spiritual identity means going back to Krishna. Going back to Krishna. So, but it, when it is spoken through Puranas, they have to say like that. Otherwise, we won't listen. Suppose all these things what we are discussing, it's all spoken on a purely from a spiritual position, through spirit soul, nobody will listen. But if you say Radharani is doing this and we ask for Radharani's mercy, it becomes easier for us to relate with, isn't it? As a person, Radharani. Radharani exists, not that Radharani doesn't exist, Radharani does exist. But Radharani's role is this in our spiritual life. He's taking us away because Radharani is aware, is Radharani whose presence in us has made us this to come to this Ajnanam state. So taking us out of this Ajnanam is also the duty of the Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti, Chit Potency. That's why Sata Chitta Anandam, Chit Potency is very important. The other two things are realized later, isn't it? After realization happens, Sat Potency and the Anandam. When full realization happens, you experience it straight away. But Chit Potency is the one which is operating all the time. That's why it's called Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti. So, so it's the same way devotees of Lord Shiva and Parvati also. They also see Sri Parvati as that Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti's manifestations are Radharani, Sri Parvati and Sita Devi and all that. They are all Chit Shakti's manifestations. Because it is Vidya, knowledge, they are addressed as Sri Parvati or Radharani or Sita Devi in that way. In famous prayers of Lalita Sahasranamam, there is like Vishnu Sahasranamam, there is a famous prayers for Lalita. Lalita means Sri Parvati here. Not Lalita Devi, the Gopi, but Lalita is the Sri Parvati, another name is Lalita. So there in Lalita Sahasranamam, this is very famous. All great devotees of Devi, Sri Parvati, they worship her through this Lalita Sahasranamam. It is so famous. And there is commentaries on that. Big, great personalities have written great commentaries on that. And they master this. And each word in that is highly potent, glorifying Sri Parvati in that way. In there, when the whole thing is over, 1,000 names are spoken, she is addressed like this. Shiva Shakti Aikya Swarupiniye Namaha. That's the last prayers to her. What does that mean? Shiva is Shiva and Shakti is Sri Parvati. Shiva Shakti Aikya Swarupini, who brings unity between the connection between Shiva and Shakti, or between the individual soul and the Absolute Truth. That to her I pay my obeisances. That's how it ends at the end. Shiva Shakti Aikya Swarupiniye Namaha. It says like that. So that connection, making that connection between the ignorant individual soul with the fully realized super soul, that responsibility is in the Chit Shakti. So, that connection has to happen. So when we have that reverential mood in us and bhakti inside, if we approach Chit Shakti in that way, that Chit Shakti will make that connection one day for us. That is bhakti. That means bhakti towards Radharani means this, with this prayer, that through your shakti or energy, let this ignorance leave me and let me come back to my proper state of what I am as the soul and experience that the self-realized state. This is should be the prayer to Chit Shakti, to Radharani. So Radharani's capacity is mentioned like that. Swarupam is this thing. Then, so the moment that Swarupam state comes in, automatically ignorance leaves. Ignorance cannot stay anymore. At that point, we do not think anymore as Jiva anymore. The conditioning has gone from us and proper nature comes to us. And that is the nature. Svabhava means that we have to always remember the definition of Svabhava, what Svabhava means. That aham asmi, existence. And if you switch off the light, that ahamasmi is still there, isn't it? Aham. Suppose my awareness. My awareness is not due to the presence of the light, nor due to the presence of any other help from this world, isn't it? I am so independent on that, my awareness of my existence. Even if you switch the light off, I am still conscious of my awareness. I may not be conscious of your awareness. I may not be able to see you, and I cannot be aware of your presence here. The light goes off. But my awareness is still very much there. That will not leave, it will not reduce even a little bit while switching the light off. So that is why Krishna says here that that vastu, the inside, when it gets its complete manifestations, you can see here that you may ask the question, what is the benefit? Benefit is this, ajnanenavaram jnanam. Krishna says, jnani, ajnani, these two states actually don't exist. This is coming from this particular situation, we call it as jnanam and ajnanam. The same thing we are calling it as jnani, I am a jnani. Somebody says I am a jnani, somebody says I am a ajnani. I am a ajnani. Once in an ashram, what happened was, there was a realized soul in the ashram. A Mahatma was sitting there. And there was another person who was coming there for satsangam in that ashram. And he was sitting there, and every day he will think, why I am not becoming like him? He kept on thinking like this. So one day he thought, I'll ask him, why is it like this? I am like this. So he asked him, he says to him, that so many months I am sitting here in front of you and listening to all this, but nothing is happening to me. I am still an ajnani. He says, I am still an ajnani. So somebody says to him, at that time in the group there were other people. So another person says to him, you are like this, you are sitting on the banks of the river, Ganga Devi, and saying that you are thirsty. It's like that, he said. So at that time another person says to him, that it's not like that, he says. You have actually gone into Ganga River and standing in the middle of the Ganga River and saying like that, you are thirsty. You are saying like that. So at that time the Mahatma turned around and says to him, it's not like that, he says. Ganga River herself is saying, I am thirsty. That's the situation now, he says. You see the differences between the three. First instance, he says, he's sitting, is a comparison given to us to understand this connection, that when you are saying, sitting there and saying that I can't understand, I am still ignorant, I am a jnani, somebody is saying, in the presence of a Mahatma, a great soul. So somebody else says, no, you are just like in the banks of the river Ganga and saying that you are thirsty. Ganga River is flowing there. Why should you be thirsty? So that person is taking this position, I am still not feeling self-realization. So at that time, somebody else says, you are right in the middle of the water. The Ganga is flowing freely. All you have to do is take the water and drink. So still that person is saying, I am not able to follow. So the Mahatma says, it is like Ganga River saying, I am thirsty, because actually the knowledge is already there inside. You are not realizing it. That's the problem. You are not accepting it from inside. There's some resistance from inside. Is this all true? The mind plays the game. The mind will pop up and will start bringing questions. So then a long question answer session after that. What question answer will help? You, either Krishna is saying here, you remember I mentioned this many, many times. Krishna says to Arjuna, you have no envy. Anasuya way, isn't it? Anasuya. Anasuya means one who has no envy. Krishna is not talking about envy in the same way we talk about envy. What Krishna says there is that this resistance from inside to accept what Krishna is saying, that is envy. You don't want to accept it. You keep on asking question, and it's not coming to any conclusion at the end. So what do you do? Like the swimming master did, take him and throw it into the water. Then he will learn how to swim. So, question-answer is like that. Question-answer doesn't help. What will help is, what we have heard, think about it. Reduce the chittavritti inside. You will see it will happen. It will naturally happen. It's not such a rocket science as they call it in the world. It's only the question is, so much contamination inside, chittavritti inside happening, that this knowledge, what Krishna is saying, is simple and straightforward of our identification with the soul and soul's quality, what Krishna is saying there. Okay, everybody may not experience everything for day one, but that is the direction to go. That the soul is inside, and soul is all this nature, and Shastram is explaining to us all these important aspects of the soul. So, after saying this, he says here that even Mahatmas, great Mahatmas, for them, that they find this Jnani Ajnani, sometimes they will say, why Maya is like that? Maya creates all these kinds of situations. I mentioned before also, there's nothing what Maya cannot do. That is the beauty of Maya. Therefore, every Acharya who had tried to define Maya found it very difficult. So one of the best definition is, Akhatida Ghatana Patiyasi Maya. It's a beautiful prayer, it's about Maya Devi. How Maya works. Akhatida Ghatana Patiyasi Maya. What it means is, that what you think is not possible, she can make it possible, happening. That's her greatness. What you think is not possible, she'll make it happen. And that's her strength. So, Akhatida Ghatana Patiyasi Maya. That, so similar, just like, we wonder sometimes, isn't it? Devotees, yesterday also I was hearing class from LA about, they were reading from this Lord Balaram's pastimes in the from the LA temple. So I was listening to that. So they were saying that appearance of Krishna, Balaram was transferred from Devaki Devi's womb to Rohini Devi's womb. How could this be? Isn't it? Something very difficult to... People are using their mind and intelligence to understand this. That is why she was sent here. Yogamaya was sent first. Do that, Krishna says to her. Krishna says to Yogamaya, that's your first responsibility. Shift Balaram from there to Rohini. Akhatida Ghatana Padiyasi Maya. Maya's strength is like that. Maya can do things which we think is not possible. She can do it. She can do it. Obviously, there was no transplant those days, like the way this is spoken today. But it has happened. She has done the job. That's all. She was asked to do and she has done that. So, Balaram's appearance, they were reading. And that's what the point they were referring to. So, that is how it is, isn't it? So, so Krishna, Mahatmas also get sometimes baffled by this Maya. So, Sadashiva Brahmendra mentioned this once. He says like this. Under her control, if a dead body start getting up and start dancing, I will not be surprised, he said. Thinking, what else can you say? Because she is so powerful and she can do anything she wants. Nothing can stop her in what she wants to do in this world. That's how powerful she is. And because it is like that, and unless you escape from her grip, there is no question of self-realization happening. So it is so powerful. She is. So that's why they say here. The so, and it even baffles great realized souls. Even Mahatmas acknowledges this fact of her strength. Remember, I mentioned this once. Jawaharlal Nehru's and hospital. Remember that story? Yeah, I'll repeat through again because just to get their understanding. Jawaharlal Nehru was very famous, wasn't he? He was so famous. So many people were imitating. They want to be like Jawaharlal Nehru. And they felt so much, how would you say, adoration for Jawaharlal Nehru at that time. So there were some people gone crazy, and there was a hospital in Lahore, I think. The hospital was in Lahore at that time. It was just after independence or something, this incident happened. Or even prior to independence, Nehru went there to hospital. So there were so many crazy people in that hospital. So one of them had this problem. He used to think he is Jawaharlal Nehru because it has become his identity in that way. He got cured at the end and he was getting released from the hospital. So Nehru was invited to give him the release note from there. So as soon as he saw Nehru, he asked him, who are you? He says, I am Jawaharlal Nehru. Jawaharlal Nehru, the actual Jawaharlal Nehru says to him, I am Jawaharlal Nehru. So that person says, I also used to think like that, but you will get cured one day, he says to him. But he is also right. You have to remember that. Because from the bodily level only is Jawaharlal Nehru, isn't it? So this is the disease what we all have got. This identity with so many things we have identified. So that is the power of Maya. You see, above all, she is able to keep us in all these different identities and still able to tell us that we are not this. Imagine that, how powerful she is. That she keeps us under all these identities and still able to tell us through Shastram, two, three great Mahatmas, that none of this is applied to you. You are independent of all these things. But we say this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see this. Things, very important things in the Bhagavatam, you must study like this, because Bhagavatam is presenting to us this truth through different episodes, reality through different episodes, but from their teachings you will capture these things. When Rishabhadev left this world, in Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, what happened there was that Parikshit Maharaj thought that what a great personality he was. Rishabhadev, he left this world in such a nice way that he was able to leave this world because of the high degree of self-realization, isn't it? He walked out from his position, handed over everything to the son, Bharat, and walked away from there. So he left his body. So when he has left his body, Parikshit Maharaj thought, how fortunate he was. And after hearing about Rishabhadev's instructions to his son, the 100 sons he called them and instructed them on the spirit, on the Vairagya Vidya, isn't it, on renunciation. After hearing that, Parikshit got a little bit concerned about his own situation. I have done this sinful thing of putting this snake around this sage and I am sitting here, what will happen to me? This thought came to Parikshit. So when it came to Parikshit that way, Parikshit's concern was noticed by Sudeva Goswami. Sudeva Goswami noticed that concern for Parikshit. And when he came out like that, in order to console Parikshit, Sudeva Goswami said something. Look at the words. Rajan padir guru ralam pavadam yadunam devam priya kulapadi kochakingarova astueva manga bhagavan bhajadam mukundo muktim dadadi karhijal smana bhakti yogam. He says here, my dear Parikshit king, Rajan padir guru ralam pavadam yadunam, that Krishna has come in your family and was a friend of all your grandfather and as a ancestors, in other words, Pandavas. He was present there, and for you as well as for the Yadavas, he came there as their protector and their advisor and their friend, and on so many ways he has served you. He has served you. And this special offer is not everywhere. The special offer. Bhakti is a special offer. Mukti is you buy one. The get one free is not there in that. That bhakti is only given very rare thing. That is what he said. Muktim dadadi, he gives mukti. Karhijals mana bhakti yogam. Mukti he gives freely. If you become self-realized, it is easier. But bhakti, Krishna thinks 10 times before he gives bhakti to anybody. That is an important message there. So you are so fortunate that you have even got that bhakti. Not only mukti, even bhakti has been offered to you. Otherwise, you would not have asked me these questions to talk about Krishna. At the time when Parikshit was leaving the body, there were many options for him. He was first of all an emperor, isn't it? And he had many options. Why? Because there were sages from Ashtanga Yogam, Jnana Margam, Karma Margam, Raja Margam, they were all present there. The sages were present, all from various backgrounds. And they were all advising him to go through a particular route, in their own route. But Sudeva Goswami came there at that point, and Parikshit felt like asking about Krishna at that time. That was his mercy. That was Krishna's mercy, to make Parikshit to accept, because Krishna wanted to introduce Bhagavatam through him to this world, through Parikshit. So at that time, Sudeva Goswami understood straight away that it is Krishna's decision that it has to happen in this way, that through him and Parikshit, Bhagavatam should come to this world. So that's why he's saying that you have been given bhakti, otherwise you could not ask these questions to me. Why you are asking me like this now? So muktim dadadi, mukti Krishna gives to everyone. Everybody get, lot of people gets bhakti. Kahijal mana bhakti yogam. Bhakti is not given so freely. Because once bhakti is given, Krishna has, he thinks 10 times before he gives it to anybody, bhakti. When he said that, immediately question comes up that after that, straight away, Sudeva Goswami said something else after saying this. What was that? Nityana bhudani jalava nivrtta trishna shreyasya dadrajanaya chira sukta buddhehe logasya karunaya abhayam alma logam akhyannamo bhagavade kushabaya tasmai. He says here, Nityana bhudani jalava nivrtta trishna. Now, up to this, all the story of Rishabhadeva was spoken, and this about eventually pacified Parikshit Maharaj by telling him that he has given you bhakti. But straight away, Sukadeva Goswami says, Nityanubhuda Nijalaba Nivrtta Trishna. That bhakti state is not an easy thing. He says, Nijalaba Nivrtta Trishna, one who is free from desires. Only for him it is possible. Nivrtta Trishna. Nivrtta Trishna means from all, Trishna means desires. Nivrtta Trishna means one who is free from desires. And such a person, Shreyasa Jadrajanaya Chira Supta Buddhehe, that person not knowing his Shreyasa. Shreyasa means his ultimate benefit. Not knowing about him. And who is, why he is not knowing about him? He is absorbed in the body. He is absorbed in the body. Once you are absorbed in the body, that means you don't know your ultimate goal. What is good for you? You don't know. That's why you are absorbed in the body. That's why he says here, Shreyasa Tadra Janaya Chira Supta Buddhehe. The world is in that state. Absorbed in the body and carrying on. That's what this world is. But Rishabhadev, who is so kind to this world, and who was feeling compassion for this world, Logasaya Karunaya, because of that compassion, Abhaya Alma Logam, that he wanted to give shelter to this world on the spiritual realm. Or in other words, the principle of spiritual life, spiritual realization, Atma Tattvam. Who gave that to this world? Rishabhadev. And I pay my respectful obeisances to Rishabhadev, he says there. So in other words, bhakti, he spoke to Parikshit in that way. Straight away he said, immediately after that, Nityanu Bhuta Nijalaba Nivrtta Trishna. In other words, this is something that bhakti, nityanubhudam, it is there all the time in all of us. Nityanubhudam, what is that? This realization that I am existing. And that is the mercy of Krishna. That this awareness all the time I am existing. Nijalabham, that's the only profit what we have got in this world. Nityanubhudam, nijalabha, nivrtta trishna. So, in Krishabhadev, he says here, he won't give bhakti. And there is so many commentaries on that. But what does mukti means? That when you give your attention onto the soul, that is mukti. That is mukti state. So, because once the attention is fallen on the soul, the sarupam or our own spiritual nature will start shining through. And you may not have developed attachment for that. That is another step. Getting attached to that. But the soul shining on its own, that we started realizing that the soul exists. That the soul exists. That is that Nityanubhudam word means. That means Nityanubhuda Nijalaba Nivrtta Trishna. That will only, when all other desires have left us, and we have started completely experiencing the presence of the soul as we are, Nityanubhudam, that state has come. And this realization is what Rishabhadev has spoken. And that's been given by Rishabhadev to his children also. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.